Olá, eu sou a Patrícia Tavares, profissional da área de Recursos Humanos e Global Mobility há mais de 25 anos. Junto com a Vanessa Romão, idealizamos e construímos o Brasil Talks, um espaço de informação, conhecimento, discussão, disseminação, networking e transformação da área de Global Mobility. Em nossos podcasts, encorajamos diálogos e promovemos conhecimento da forma mais ampla, democrática, transparente e globalizada. Espero que você goste desse podcast.
Hi, thank you very much for having us in our podcast. And today, our podcast is What Makes Poland Special? That's the theme of our podcast today. I am Carolina Carnaúba. I'm a senior member of Senior Committee of Brazil Talks and also Director of Immigration at PwC Brazil. And I have here with me Mateusz Wilozol from PwC Poland, Head of Global Mobility and Immigration Services, responsible for servicing PwC network firms with a team of more than 500 individuals. Thank you, Mateusz, for joining us in this talk.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
And Mateusz, Poland is situated in the very heart of Europe and is located in the Baltic Sea, in the Western Europe, with borders with Germany and Russia, Ukraine and Belarus. And it's in the middle of a very important area nowadays. And it's by far, as far as I could read about this, the largest country in the Central Eastern Europe region with a size and population comparable to Spain, right? Poland is also well known as a service hub for a long time, doing back office work, not only for Indian outsourcing companies, but also for major corporations. And it's an important shared service location for sophisticated activities such as software development and financial services. The country also faces competition from other countries in Europe, like Bulgaria, Romania, and Spain. And my first question to you is actually the theme of our talk today. What makes Poland so different from other countries?
Okay, so I would say that our geographic location is both a blessing and a curse. If you look at Polish history, it's not always that bright, given our location in, as you call it, heart of Europe. It's been interesting in the times of land grabbing, but for now it's our blessing, and it's probably the first advantage is the closeness to the to much bigger countries like Germany or even United Kingdom, which is 2 hours flight from most of the Poland of the Polish territory, and basically the same time zone as most of Europe. But that doesn't differ us from Spain, I would say, because Spain also is in the same time zone. So probably the next point is the very wide university environment. So we have where I'm located, and I'm located in Katowice, which is southern Poland. I'm about an hour drive from Czech Republic. We have a region, metropolitan region, which is over, I believe, 2 million people. And in this, we have numerous universities. I will not dare to, you know, count them, because there's a lot of private ones. There's a lot of public ones. With the biggest one, University of Silesia, which is by far the largest. There's an art university, and there is Silesian University of Technology, which is probably, again, the reason for software hub here in southern Poland. But that's specifically about area where I am. But it's not very unique in Poland. So when you look at those larger metropolitan areas with some larger cities like Krakow, which is also very, very nice tourist destination, and not far from where I sit right now. like Poznań, which is on the western side, which is to the which is about hour or hour and a half from German border drive, like Gdańsk, which is at the northern part of Poland and is also very historical site, most known probably from recent history of Lech Wałęsa.
Oh, okay.
And movement of Solidarity movement in the 80s, but also it's called Three City with their own universities and obviously Warsaw, which is the biggest hub in Poland, with some others in the pipeline like Łódź, like I forgot about Wrocław. Wrocław is also the very big one on the southwestern. So. If you go around the Polish map, you will see a lot of those cities with very wide student base, with very wide technological advancement. So this is I would say our second advantage. And let's be honest about this, the third advantage is our comparison in terms of prices to Western Europe. So we joined European Union 18 years ago. It will be now, 2 weeks from now, it will be 18 years, which is probably the biggest step for the Polish for the development of Poland. I don't know, maybe ever, or but at least in the modern history, where direct investment from the rest of EU was possible and made much easier the flow of capital, the flow of people, which significantly boosted our development. I've checked some numbers before our discussion, and I've seen that Polish GDP grew 80% since joining the European Union.
It's a big growth.
It is. We are now still below average EU GDP per capita, which gives us some economic advantage compared to, I don't know, Berlin or London. London is other league, probably it's the most expensive in the whole Europe. But compared to same size cities in Germany, in France, even in Spain. So this is another competitive advantage that Poland has. So I would say it's a combination of closeness, the availability of talents, and also some economic advantages that you might get in Poland.
That's very interesting. So in summary, what you just said is location of Poland is an advantage, time zone difference, educated human capital, and you know, the economic growth, and also cost of this educated human capital also makes a big difference when, you know, companies decided to invest in Poland and making Poland as their service hub for, you know, other many services, right?
Yes. I forgot about one additional factor. A lot of people speak English. That's very popular to learn English in Poland. So this is very helpful. And in the part of Poland, especially in the western and southern part of Poland, a lot of people speak German as well, due to this complicated history we have with our neighbors that I said at the beginning of this part. Has been our curse in the past.
Good. And Mateusz, during the COVID pandemic, we had an undeniable and wide-ranging impact in human mobility of all kinds. I think it's impacted all over the world, from travel to work, study, or family reunification, refugee settlement. In this context, can you explain how the pandemic affected Poland? And can you explain to us what is the current environment in Poland for those who are willing to move or travel to Poland? I think from a more immigration perspective, if you can tell us.
So in the beginning, it's been hard. We've been hit heavily in the first months of COVID with strict lockdown, with the borders shut down, and especially given our EU identity and participation in the Schengen Agreement. Schengen is the agreement that you can travel not only with no visa, but with no passport at all. There is no borders between Schengen countries, which is most of the EU plus some other territories. So it's been very weird to see the borders back again and, you know, all those patrols at the highway when you're crossing into Czech Republic or Germany, if you were allowed to cross because you needed a test and everything. So the beginning, the travel was disrupted heavily with also no inbound, not much inbound flights. There's been only some program by national operator called Fly Home, mm-hmm. To bring expats back to Poland. But it's been in 2020. Fast forward into April 22 when we speak, and we're back to normal. I would say it's no longer there. We no longer have inbound restrictions. You don't. I'm not sure right now if you need a test at all or you don't even need a test. We don't have quarantine. We don't have any of this. I guess we follow the UK way into the COVID. So treating COVID as just the regular illness, and that opens us for travel. In terms of how it affected the job market, that's probably the biggest change, because mm-hmm. you know, we've learned a lot during this difficult time. We've changed our lifestyle. Much more things are now done from home instead of the office or I don't know, the gym or anything, because it's not only about work, it's about everything. And it also gave us a greater flexibility on the talent market. So we are, look, as I said in the beginning, we are located in the southern Poland, but given that we are now so used to working from home or from other locations, we can recruit someone living, I don't know, 500, 600 kilometers from our office, and it's not a problem. If we meet once a month, and that's our policy right now, it's probably not so problematic to travel for just one day as it would be for relocating fully to the city where we are located. So that's for traveling.
I have a question, because sure. You mentioned that during the pandemic, you almost doubled the number of employees working with you, right? From 125, 150 to 500 people or individuals working with you. Do you have many foreigners working with you? Or, and considering now that anyone can work from home, let's say, do you envisage, you know, hiring foreigners to work with you in those shared service hubs you manage in Poland? And also, a second question, what are the challenges so in
just
leading
to
these?
Clarify, yes. I guess we will have to go through this again. It hasn't grown so much. We've been around 400 for the last few years, at least 2 years. 120 was Alicia's business unit.
Okay.
And Alicia is one of four managers we have here. So I'm leading the group of four managers, and we've been around 400 in 2020. We've been around 400 last year. We are 500 right now, so we grew over the last year by 100 people.
Well, it's a lot still. So do you have many foreigners working with you?
It depends what you define by many. We have around 30 people, mostly from Ukraine, as this is one of the popular
nationality,
thank you, for us to recruit for. It's also close by, so for it's about, I don't know, maybe 4 hours drive to Lviv, or 4 or 5 hours drive to Lviv in the western Ukraine. In the regular times, right now it's probably more the in regular times it's been quick, and there are also direct planes between Katowice and Lviv, and this is maybe hour and a half, so it's really close.
I see. And from a crisis management perspective, because we heard from, you know, PwC UK, they've been working quite hard during when the war in Ukraine first started. And how this affected your work and daily life in Poland? Do you think this affected much? Because you mentioned that the majority of foreigners you have in your team, they are from Ukraine. So I think this is a consequence from the war. But can you explain to us how the war affected the daily life of the Polish people in many cities?
Sure. So those Ukrainians we have on board right now, they are mostly from pre-war hiring. So okay. they either studied here or they came to Poland before the war to look for a job. Right now we have open market for Ukrainians, which from our company point of view is a good thing. First of all, we can offer job to refugees that have to leave their home, their everything in Ukraine and start anew in Poland. So this is morally very good, but it's also helping us to source talent for the growth we are experiencing right now with as you said increasing interest in Poland as offshoring / talent location. So from the business side of view, we see potential candidates among refugees, and we are actively looking for new joiners among them. In terms of daily life, well, you can see you can see it everywhere. Poland has accepted over 2.5 million refugees in the last month and a half or 60 days, or I don't know how many it is exactly right now since the war began, but it's been a constant flow of about 30,000 people per day. Wow. From day one of the war, and many Polish people accepted offered accommodation in their homes, and this makes me really proud about the nation, because I believe that's a new approach toward the refugee crisis management, with offering spare rooms to refugees. Together with my wife, we also had a chance to accommodate a few families for some short-term stay before they either traveled further, because that was once it was west and once it was south, or were given some accommodation by some city mayor. So, and it's something we share with a lot of friends. So a lot of people I know are now living in what they call extended family model, with some people from Ukraine living with them, and you know, that's really incredible. And I don't know if it's because we've experienced communism in the past, and that yes. gives us a lot of empathy toward those people. It will be probably maybe not verified, but it will be subject to studies for some people in the future. I'm sure about that. But right now, it's really great to see this, and see this empathy, see this will to help everyone in need. So that's from the daily life, and yeah, I guess
yeah.
that's
yeah. This is very interesting. How, you know, the people united to help the others in such a positive way. And in such a short time, the way you are explaining to me, it's that you welcomed different families in your own home. So this is very, very impressive and very far from our reality here in Brazil. So I thank you again for giving your testimony for such a historical period of our lives, because well, I'm 46 years old. I've never seen a war in my life in such a, you know, close idea, and talking to someone who's actually seeing these and welcoming people who are actually refugees from a war. So this is something to be proud of. And you mentioned you are proud of, and you should be proud of.
Thank you. So you know, it's wonderful to see that, but it's also difficult, and it's deeply moving when you talk to those people, when they explain, when they tell you their stories. They are not usually they are not willing to do this in the beginning, but after they start to trust you, they share their experience, and that's probably the toughest moment of it, because I also didn't experience war. You know, if I've been quite young when the Yugoslavia war was here in Europe. Plus, for them, the direction was also more to Germany rather than Poland. And I've been lucky enough to, you know, have the peaceful environment around me. So it's from beginning. So, you know, with actually on every level. And the most moving part was. Or the most moving for me was when we hosted the family that were Afghan in origin. So okay. They ran away from Afghanistan 20 years ago. They start a new life. They started a new life in Kharkiv and in Ukraine. They learned Russian. They speak Russian. They spoke only Russian, and that's the worst part about it, probably, because. They spoke Russian, they had Ukrainian passports, because they spent so much time in Ukraine. They had five children, in, all born in Ukraine. And, you know, they had to run away again from the terror, from war. And it was, they ran away on Thursday. I remember that was Thursday, February 24. They ran away on Thursday. In the morning, when they saw a tank next to their home, basically shooting in that direction, so they just gathered what they had at hand, and they ran away. And the youngest children was half year old, the second wow. youngest was 3 years old. So, you know, it's not easy to travel with such a group. And they've been on the road for over 2 days. They arrived here on Saturday evening, or rather night. So it's been over 2 days with such a group. They walked 40 kilometers to the border because it was impossible to get any transportation. So, you know, they've been
in the cold weather, right? Because it's winter, autumn time, right?
It's still winter. Yes.
Yeah, I cannot even think. And then, and for this family, must be a nightmare to be refugees for a second time. And after thinking that they found a country to live and raise a family, and then suddenly they just, you know, lost this dream and had to run away again to find a new life. Just changing a little bit the subject, but still. Because I think this applies also to someone who's actually a refugee, but what would be your advice for those willing to live and work in Poland, or are currently analyzing a proposal to work in Poland? Can you give examples of locations, cities, and characteristics, cities in Poland that are more welcoming to foreigners?
Yeah, so probably all the big cities, and big in Poland means around 200,000 people living in it. So it's compared to I believe Sao Paulo or Rio de Janeiro, it's a town rather than a city. But here, starting with 200,000 or 300,000 people, we already call it a bigger city. And there is, again, there is one in each corner of Poland, I would say. So starting, I will go clockwise from where I live. So the Silesia region, with Katowice being the capital of Silesia, but I think it's around 20 cities really connected, and it's you wouldn't feel that you are in a different city when you go around the city centers. And if you go to from one city center to another, you will not notice that it's a different city. You will feel like just a new district of the same city. So that's a good place to start with. There are two nice cities in it. There's Katowice, as I said, the biggest one, but there's also Gliwice to the western part of that region, where the Silesian University of Technology is located, and also a lot of foreigners are studying there. Going to the west, there is Wrocław, used to be called Breslau. Formerly, before World War II, it's been a German city with a very, very nice architecture, and it's located at the river. It's called Odra. It's a river that goes origins in Czech Republic and goes and basically is the big part of Polish western border after it crosses Wrocław. I don't remember what is exactly the number of citizens for Wrocław, but it's a very popular student destination with many universities, again with very wide nightlife as well, and just a nice place to be. Then if you go north from Wrocław, and I'm skipping a lot just to just being aware that we have limited time.
Now we can understand that Poland is a nice place to go in general, because you cannot count on your fingers how many cities you can go and leave.
Yeah, I tried to be really, you know,
very cultural. It's good for studying, it's good for work.
Yeah, so then it's Poznań, which is also also a very nice city, also a lot of students, and I mentioned Poznań before as close to business hub close to Germany. We go further north where there is Szczecin, which is probably difficult to spell by foreigners, so they will avoid it because they will not be able to tell where they are, but it's a very nice city as well. Then we have the coastline in the north of Poland, Baltic Sea. There's a lot of nice tourist destinations. So for summer holiday, it's a great place to be. I have my favorite spots there, but again, it's probably not for for today's talk. And my favorite city, Gdańsk, which is like I mentioned, full of history. That's where the Second World War started in Europe. That's where Solidarity Movement started and the collapse of Soviet Union as we see it from Polish perspective. Very nice old city located at the sea. So, you know, all checks for a nice nice destination with a lot of foreigners too. Obviously Wrocław, and obviously Warsaw and Krakow, which are tourist destinations, very popular ones with everything business, tourists, and students.
For those who only speak English, do you think it would be a problem moving to Poland? Because you mentioned that also Poland is a destiny for those setting up service hubs, because most people speak English. So I believe if I receive a job offer in Poland and I don't speak Polish, I will be able to live and work without any problems, right?
Yes. So if, for example, you would like to join SDC, we would help you with work permits and all the paperwork that you need.
Is it complicated, the immigration process itself, or it's bureaucratic like any other country?
I would say it's a regular immigration process. So
I see.
It's with the government authorities, so you know all the forms have to be filled in the right way. It's probably nothing very complex, but yeah, well, still important how you feel it. So it's, I don't know, you're more experienced in immigration
but it changes, from one country to another. But I can see from what you are just explaining that it's a bureaucratic procedure, right? So yes, you have to be prepared to wait like 8 to 15 weeks to have everything completed in order to be able to start your life in Poland and so on.
If you apply from Brazil, you will have to wait before you travel to Poland to make sure your papers are there before you. But in terms of, you know, working, many companies accept candidates without Polish capability, and the same applies to us. So we have many foreigners, and they don't have to speak Polish at all. And in all those big cities, I would say you will easily survive without knowledge of Polish language. Outside of them, it might be tricky when you want to, I don't know, rent a house at the beach, or you want to negotiate with someone local. You might need help with translation. But that's for leisure. For work, you would survive easily with just English.
Now I have a final question for you, Mateusz, considering all that we have talked about in the pandemic, the war, what possible scenarios of what international mobility could look like in the next few years in Poland do you think? I mean, can you what consider what you are seeing right now and what we've just seen, you know, during the pandemic. We saw the controls and everything, and now we have the war and, you know, a large number of people moving to Poland. Do you envisage something different, or do you think we are going back to 2019 when we didn't have pandemic and no war? Do you think the companies, because you mentioned now that people are working more from their homes. Do you think, you know, business traveling will continue in Poland, or what's your opinion about, you know, the future?
I believe that the labor market will continue to grow for two reasons. First one is offshoring work, but this will just grow because I will give you an example. You might have a company in New York and you will believe that some of the functions need to be done there. You need a person sitting at one of the avenues or one of those fancy streets with a very expensive office and salary that is applicable for New York. And then there was a pandemic, there was a lockdown, and all those people were in their New York apartments. And then when that's probably when companies realize that they don't really need to have it located directly in New York. It's handy, it's useful, but it's probably not necessary. So it might be the first factor to increase the labor market in Poland by offshoring more, realizing that not everything needs to be in-house. Another one is, I would say, and it's a bit of the same, but also slightly different, is remote work, which is, I would say, a new trend on the market. That's been, I remember a few years ago, it's been reserved to freelancers that are delivering their services to companies, working on B2B contracts, and you know, doing some graphic design, sitting in Thailand, and you know, working in the afternoon to talk to colleagues in, for example, Germany. And it's been very limited. Right now, I believe it will grow, and it will be more and more of this. So it will again increase the labor market, but either through companies like ours that make it in a structured way and hire those people locally and just provide their services to other countries, or directly hiring those people in territory. But in terms of business travelers, I think this will, both of those factors will increase number of business travelers. So there will be less long-term relocations, I would say, but more of the short-term traveling for training, for getting up to speed with the local market, for getting up to speed with the knowledge that is now inside the team, and for the team meetings that that will take place, I suppose, at least once a year in, at this HQ. So those travelers will go from, I don't know, Poland, from Czech Republic, from Thailand, from all over the world to New York to, you know, have a group meeting, have some discussions, some trainings possibly in there, and some nice time afterwards.
Thank you very much, Mateus, for joining us in the Brazil Talks podcast. It was very, very interesting to hear from you about Poland, about the current scenario, what happened during the pandemic, your personal experience during the war in Ukraine and the refugee situation, and your very positive view of the future with an increase of international mobility from a business travel perspective, and also from a remote working perspective, by, you know, and Poland in the center of it. I think it was very positive. So thank you very much for having you with us, and I hope to meet you in person very soon, talking about international mobility and business travel. Let's hope we'll have a good meeting soon.
I'm looking forward to that as well. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Espero que você tenha gostado. Nossos podcasts estão disponíveis no nosso canal do YouTube.